You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by 29 Brew Pub and Wood-Fired Pizza, and To Die For Cupcakes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, welcome to the Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that only qualifies for two passes to Wizard World, Ohio. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you for tuning in. A bunch of news to go over, as usual, but first, let's do some stuff we've been checking out.
Been checking out a couple things, other than Metal Gear, which I'm still playing and still continues to be amazing.
Metal Gear.
How far along are you on that now?
Oh, 10% maybe, and I've probably played it for a solid 5 or 6 hours.
Jeez.
It's a big game.
Yeah. Nice.
Get it. Even if you have to get the older version for older consoles, just get it.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that a lot last week.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I've been playing Zeo Drifter, which is free on PlayStation Plus this month. It's a Metroidvania style game. Although I struggle to put the Vania in there because it's just basically it is Metroid.
Okay.
You're a little spaceman that goes around these four different planets.
Cool.
His ship breaks down. He needs to find something to get it to work.
Space gas.
You explore these four planets in a very Metroidian fashion.
Is it a side-scroller?
Yeah. 2D side-scroller pixel art.
Very cool.
It's really good. I mean, it's very bare-bones. There's only one boss. But he attacks in different ways every time. And he has some really, fun tells. So you know when to avoid what move. That makes it feel rewarding, at least.
For paying attention.
Yeah. But it's scratching a Metroid itch that Nintendo refuses to do anything about, so...
Well, until the NX.
Probably.
One can hope.
If Metroid's your thing, and you're starving for something like it, Xenodrifter's good. Zeo Drifter.
Okay, cool.
I've been playing it on the Vita, but it's also on the DS and the PC and... I think just about everything. So look that up.
Well, we have been watching an anime before bed called, what is it?
Ultimate Otaku Teaser.
Yeah. We put it on just thinking it's going to be another trash anime,
And then you just get really into it.
It's actually pretty good. We were really surprised. Especially with the school theme. We thought we were totally going to see a bunch of upskirts, but not
dumb
a single
anime
one.
Crap. Yeah. Well, I thought, the plot is this nerdy guy who doesn't do anything.
Because he has YD.
Which means he can only do what he yearns to do.
Ah.
But he's forced to become a teacher, and I figured,
How's he forced to become a teacher?
His sister makes him.
Oh.
Because she constantly is threatening him with a baseball bat all the time.
Oh, so that's how that works? So to become a teacher, I just have to be threatened with bodily violence?
He's, super, super smart.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to do anything.
Exactly.
Okay. He runs a blog.
An anime blog, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's more concerned about his blog than he is anything else.
Keep Beat City weird!
But he helps out the students. They all have problems. Each episode focuses on, one of his students, and he helps them.
By creating ridiculous schemes and almost Lupin in nature schemes to trick his students into
learning,
learning
a lesson.
Huh. Interesting.
But I thought, with the premise of some awkward nerd guy becoming a teacher
in a school,
it's just going to be a bunch of anime trash tropes.
How many times has he gotten a nosebleed from
none?
None really? I am surprised.
That's why it's good.
It doesn't do the tropes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But should we talk about the last two episodes of the first season?
The last two episodes were a little iffy because the last couple arcs is there's a couple truant students that he has to hunt down and get him to go to school.
Okay.
One of them is a boy who dresses like a girl because he wants to be cute, which, no big deal.
Yeah, whatever.
They're very androgynous in Japan anyway.
I would label it as transvestite. If I had to put a label on it because he never said.
They don't officially label it in the show.
Which is fine.
But he gets him to come to school by, threatening to out him in front of everybody.
Oh.
And,
he's trying to show him to be proud of who he is and not be ashamed, but he was getting bullied. That's why he stopped going to school.
Like, it comes off as really harassy and weird.
Oh, that is weird.
Like, he throws a party and invites all her classmates and her harasser, or his harassers. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds kind of...
Like, if you don't
think about it and just, like, go along with the show, like, you wouldn't notice it, probably. But if you stop and think about it for 2 seconds, it's like, this is weird. Like, this is not cool. Like, they had not the right idea. The show's heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, it wasn't trying to say anything bad, but the way it went about it was not cool. Also, at least they handled the plot line well. It wasn't something that was resolved over one episode. It was like 3 episodes of this kid,
okay,
you know, coming to terms with going back to school and all this. I was surprised with the level of, I don't know the word.
Maturity?
Yeah, the maturity. It handled the plot.
It's actually a pretty decent anime.
Yeah, we were really surprised.
Huh. Interesting.
Probably just put it on to fall asleep to and...
A lot better than Prison School, which I also watched.
Oh, God.
It is as bad as you're thinking.
Yeah, it sounds pretty rough.
But that sounds very trope-heavy.
It is. It's like a sadomasochist anime thing.
Okay.
Is it funny, or is it, like, violent?
It knows what it's doing.
Yeah, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek.
But still, it's too much.
It's tropey. It's trashy. It's sadomasochistic. It's like these 5 guys are the first guys to go to an all-girl school, previously all-girl school.
All right.
And they get in trouble for peeping, and they're put in a secret school prison.
Wow.
Not before being tied up and whipped.
Yeah, repeatedly.
By a lady with huge boobs who seem to can't find a proper uniform to cover them.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, God.
It's like...
Amy.
It's
that sounds just as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's basically a dominatrix.
Yeah.
It's the antithesis of the other show we just talked about. It's the exact opposite of Ultimate Otaku Teacher.
Huh.
You ever see... Clamp did it a long time ago. Miyuki-chan in Wonderland?
It sounds familiar.
It's Alice in Wonderland with, like, an anime spin. And it's Clamp, so all the characters are female. Red Queen is very much like what you just described.
What's that Clamp show? XXXHolic?
Yeah, XXXHolic.
That show's pretty good. I like that show.
Yeah, they're generally a pretty good studio, especially for being an all-female animation studio / manga company.
Also, that show sounds like a porn, but it's not a porn.
Okay, well, that's good.
Thank you for clarifying.
Clarifying, that's the word. Okay, I haven't done much. Went down to Bad Movie Night last Friday, and that was fun. It's always fun. We've talked about it a million times. This month it was After School Special was the theme, so it was a bunch of weird like school clips and like stuff like that, and the movie was an 80s horror movie called Slaughter High.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, it starts in like the 50s for like the first 20 minutes, and you know, it's all these... It's this gang of kids like picking on this one kid, and he ends up getting horribly burned in like a lab fire because, of course, he is like the science nerd. Only instead of becoming the Toxic Avenger, he just looks like Two-Face. Like half of his face is burned up. And it cuts to like the 80s where they're at their class reunion at the old school that has been abandoned. And it's this kid. He hasn't bulked up. He hasn't hulked out. He's still just this scrawny kid who goes through and, you know, hunts him down, and it's part comedy. I mean, it's kind of gruesome for like a horror, low budget horror, but it's funny as well.
It knows what it is.
It knows exactly what it is. And there's like one scene where he's like picking a guy up like with one hand to like hang him up on a wall, and in the next scene this woman takes a baseball bat and just barely taps him, and he just crumples over because he's a nerd, you know. But
I'm offended.
Yeah, and they spliced in just the right amount of stuff, like they always do. And it's
I think that's one of my favorite things of Bad Movie Night is when they splice in the jokes.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, that it makes the movies bearable. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Slaughter High was it would be unwatchable without like the edits and the jokes.
How did it compare to Monster High, which was last year's school one? I think
I don't remember Monster High.
It was
High.
The one that ended with the basketball game for the fate of the universe.
Yes, okay. It was, no, Monster High was a lot better, I think. They used clips from Monster High. They also,
I love that movie.
They also used clips from, what was it, Grabbed by the Ghoulies 3?
Oh.
Ghoulies Go to College?
Yeah, Ghoulies Grabbed by the Ghoulies is that Rare game.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Just Ghoulies.
Just Ghoulies, okay. But no, I mean, it wasn't as good as Monster High, but it was still, it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And they actually also used some clips from, was it Dr. Alien?
Dr. Alien.
Yeah, a lot of clips
One
from
of
Dr. Alien.
One of the best bad movie nights is
yeah,
Dr. Alien.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Killer Machine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I really like the Christmas one they had with, oh, God, what was that movie?
Jack Frost?
No.
Because they did that one a
couple
years
ago. It was like the Terminator guy who made the crazy faces.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys went, if you two went down to that one. It was,
I don't think they did.
Yeah, it was like a weird, like, if the Terminator and also Die Hard was set in Christmas at a reactor.
Yeah.
I forget what it was called, but it was really bad.
As opposed to the one that was Terminator, but if it was Anna Nicole Smith instead of, or not Terminator, Die Hard.
Yeah.
That was that Skyscraper?
That was Skyscraper. Yeah. That was bad, too. I mean, it was great, but yeah. You know, that's the fun thing about going down there to that bad movie night. You know, you never know what you're going to get. Well, yeah, you never know what you're going to get, but it's just the collective, you know, everyone getting together and laughing at the same thing. And, you know, both celebrating and poking fun at, you know, bad cinema. And there's just not a feeling like it, you know? It's great.
Oh, no, it's great. It really is. The fact that there's such a cult following of terrible movies.
Oh, yeah. I never would have thought Columbus would have had like that big of a...
I don't know. See, I've read a lot of things like talking about like Columbus as it stands now is like a big mecca for like millennials. And
that's true.
Like that.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
I mean, how many independent theaters do we have now in Columbus?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
At least three.
Yeah, there's the Gateway, there's the Grandview, and there's the Studio 35. And then there's the Dinner Theater and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's really
Drexel.
Yeah. It's just really neat to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that they're like franchising it out.
Yeah.
As well, like he's shipping the tapes to other theaters across the country.
Yeah,
which is great.
Oh yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
But
we get it first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the fun right there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Plus it's a bar.
Oh well, that too. Yeah, that helps.
I wonder how Dr. Bob's been doing at the Gateway.
You know, I haven't heard. I've kind of wanted to go down to see Dr. Bob.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, he was never terrible.
No.
It was kind of a low rent kind of thing when it was at the Grandview. But, you know, that could have been...
Yeah, but now Studio 35 owns the Grandview.
That's true.
Let's see.
And the Grandview's doing Doctor Who, the new episode of Doctor Who next weekend.
The 19th! Woo! That's cool.
Get hype.
I do love me some of that Dr. Watts.
Dr. Watts.
I don't know. I haven't really been checking out too much. I've been watching a lot of videos on this channel called Super Panic Frenzy, which is part of the Philip DeFranco SourceFed family of channels on YouTube.
Mm.
And I've been watching this one girl, Raina Scully. She has this segment called WTF Japan, where she plays...
Oh, you posted that on my Facebook wall.
Yes, I watched that.
I
did. Yeah. She plays weird games from Japan. A lot of them are really pervy dating sims. Some are just really, really, really messed up.
Mm.
Like the one I posted to Cody is about a game where they take this trope of from animes and things of a girl who is so in love with a guy that she will do anything to make sure they are together. And if they cannot be together... She makes certain that no one can have him.
Oh, that's
to the point where she'll kill the dude.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a weird game.
That's a trope. Yeah.
It's a weird, weird game. Apparently, the actual way you play it is you have to talk to the other girls in the school and gain popularity and notoriety until your senpai or your superior, the object of your affection,
notices you.
And says hello. And then once he says hello, is then when you go on your killing spree.
Well, wow. You can't until you're noticed by senpai.
Exactly. Or else you can't win the game.
Okay.
Yeah. She played this weird Wii game where it's basically like that game show Hole in the Wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Classic.
But you are like a bunch. It's called like Pretty Muscle Parade or something.
Oh,
like
Muscle Parade! Yeah. I played that.
Yeah,
that game's ridiculous.
Yeah, where you have to like strike like poses and go through the holes that appear in walls
of the muscle men that are running in front of you.
It's like a big like train.
Yeah, it's a big train trying
muscle
to
train.
Yeah, trying to catch the person who stole your protein powder.
Yeah,
jeez.
It's just a bunch of weird stuff. It was just really funny and interesting too. One of her biggest gripes is because she lived in Japan for so long and she's like completely fluent and can read it and write it and all that stuff, is the really bad translations for some of these games. Like one of the games she plays, it's not particularly bad or anything, just the translations of the written text are awful.
Get some of that English.
Oh, it's bad. Like at one point they said, tried to say laboratory, but it was something weird. And she goes, really? Really? You might as well just put an R in there, because that would have been better than what you just did. Hire me to be your translator, because this is garbage.
Oh, jeez.
This is really funny. I watched a lot of those over the last few days. And then what else? Oh, I've been sort of watching Cheers.
Oh, nice!
With my wife.
Okay, like pre-coach or post-coach?
Both.
Okay.
We've been going through from the beginning.
Oh, wow, okay.
She originally was watching Frasier. And then went to Cheers. She kind of went backwards.
Get those tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, she kind of went backwards.
They're coming again.
But yeah, we went through the coach seasons, and now we're into the...
the Woody seasons.
Woody with Christy Alley.
Oh, okay, yeah.
After.
See, those are the ones that I remember, but from what I hear, like the early seasons are kind of the better ones.
Kind of. Woody definitely fills that kind of coach angle of having that character who's so unbelievably dumb.
Well, Coach had the old folksy like.
Well, he got hit in the head a lot when he played baseball. That's how they explain Coach.
And Woody was just dumb.
Yeah, Woody's just dumb. Yeah. But it's so weird seeing Woody Harrelson so young.
Yeah,
it's weird. Like especially when he first shows up, it's like, oh my god, just a little boy. and then Chrissy Alley like pops up. I'm like, man, pretty much the only thing I've ever really known you from was.
Fat Actress?
No,
her pseudo-reality show?
Yeah, I remember that show. No, but Look Who's Talking.
Oh, okay. See, I remember as Savik from the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, she was that. It's really, that kind of reminds me, I read this article of, like, actors who were in Star Trek movies that you didn't realize, like Kelsey Grammer was
Kelsey,
in.
Well, Kelsey Grammer was on an episode of DS9 because he was, they shared the set for Frasier.
No, he was in an old Star Trek movie, too.
He was in a movie, too?
Yeah, he's in a Star Trek movie.
Okay. Imagine if he played Khan.
You know, that was one of my...
Niles at... at Hell's Heart, I stab at thee. Niles. Maris.
I really do like Frasier, though. I kind of teared up on the last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Like, when he's saying goodbye to, like, everyone. And, like, he's in the radio station, and you can see the entire cast in, like, the window behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It was as far as final episodes of series go, that one was probably one of my favorites.
That's cool.
I never watch final episodes of anything. I can't handle it.
Really?
I never watch Parks and Rec's ending. I've watched every 30 Rock episode but the last one.
Jeez. You're like the Doctor. You hate endings.
Yeah.
And goodbyes.
You know, I never watched The Office's ending, but I watched the Michael Scott when he left, and I figured that was as good as any.
Yeah, but he comes back for the end.
That's true, I guess.
I watched Michael Scott leave, but I never watched the last episode of The Office. I fell off The Office before it got to the end anyway.
Yeah.
I really liked The Office. The last season or so does get a little...
Well, they knew it was coming. They knew the end was coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you going to do with Jim and Pam once they, you know... Get married and have the kids, and
that's the one thing that like really bugs me with like Bones. I really love the show Bones, and then when they finally got married, I was like, "Is that the end?" And they're like, "No, it's not the end. We're like two seasons after, and now they're having another kid." And I'm just like, "I really want this show to end."
Baby Bones.
I really want this show to end. It's not as good as it used to be. That and they're having that weird spinoff or that weird crossover episode with Sleepy Hollow coming up.
Yeah, that's a weird idea.
Bones and Sleepy Hollow.
I know,
really?
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, like
it's called Sleepy Bones.
that's weird. Like the inclusion of supernatural elements into Bones pretty much negates like
the entirety
of Bones. That's
because it's all about the super science and Brennan explaining everything through science.
Yeah.
Or Hollow Bones.
I was going to say
that. Like what birds have.
And velociraptors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's weird. I mean, if you want to cross over anything, now, granted, I know it's not on Fox, but, you know, Supernatural would have been a perfect fit for Sleepy Hollow.
For Sleepy Hollow. Okay, I was going to say Supernatural and Bones.
No.
That
no,
would
no,
not
no.
be good.
No.
Super Bones.
Super Bones.
Super Bones. Natural Bones.
Natural Bones. It's just an hour of a skeleton sitting on a couch.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't really been doing too much, just kind of just doing random stupid stuff on the internet.
Well, sure. That's all of us, though. Yeah. That's everybody.
And looking at all these Star Wars toys I can't have.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Talk about
we'll
that.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. I guess I've been watching a lot of Futurama.
I'm always...
Again,
like,
that's
what a lot of times I do. If I've got, like, 20 minutes to kill, I'm like, I could watch an episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
Three episodes later.
I've been attempting to catch up with regular show. It's still good.
Oh, yeah. I've been burning through, like... I'm on, like, season 3 or 4 of that.
Oh, we're, like, on season 6, but...
Yeah.
I mean, its formula is starting to get, you know, really show in a bad way.
Yeah.
But they're also, like, kind of being self-aware about it, too.
Well, that's good. At least they're kind of pointing out that, you know...
There was one where Rigby spilled something on a slide projector and it sparked a little bit, and then he was like, huh, usually something weird happens when that happens.
Yeah, we just got into the part where the intern.
Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas first shows up.
They don't do anything with him.
No, they never do.
Yeah, I think they thought he was going to breathe some life into it, and then they forgot all about him.
And I'll tell you, she hasn't popped up for a few episodes. I like CJ a lot more than.
I've got good news for you. She becomes a major character in season 6.
I kind of knew that. I've seen a couple of the newer episodes. I knew that, but I like her a lot more than
Margaret.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
She fits in with them more. She's more like, you know, one of the dudes. I'd hate to say that.
I just
that.
Think her character design is, I don't know. I always think she's cuter for some reason. I don't know.
What kind of animal is she?
She's a cloud.
She's a cloud.
Yeah,
she's got a cloud head with a normal body.
Oh, that's weird. I mean, that's awesome.
Really? Is that weird for regular show?
True. Talking gumball machine.
Yeah. Talking gumball machine.
She gets stormy when she gets mad.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like, she, like, flows out of her clothes and becomes, like, an honest cloud.
Huh.
Eileen's my favorite character.
I love it, like, the little things before Rigby actually admits that he kind of likes Eileen. Is, like, when, I think it's a Halloween episode where they're telling spooky stories, and it's about Rigby getting cursed by a wizard for egging a house, and he becomes a house.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And inside the house above the fire, inside the Rigby house above the fireplace is a picture of Eileen.
Interesting.
That was the first thing Steph, she's like, oh, look.
Oh.
Pretty much.
Is that the one where something gross happens and Benson throws up gumballs? That's one of my favorite jokes. Like, something like that would be considered violent if you think about it, like, happens, and he throws up gumballs.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then there was, like, another episode where, like, Benson is, like, wrapped in a towel or something, and then his towel falls down, and, like, his, like, gumball flap thing is kind of up.
Yeah.
And everyone's all staring at him and horrified. I'm like, wait a minute, he's naked all the time anyway. This doesn't make sense.
But that's regular show. It doesn't have to make sense.
I know, this is true. Like, all those, like, theories that regular show is just through the eyes of a couple guys that are always tripping.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought the show kind of was.
I think Skips has always been my favorite character. Skips and Pops.
Mark Hamill.
I know. And it's really crazy, like, how many voices he'll do on that show.
Oh, yeah, he does a lot.
Because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that's Mark Hamill. That sounds a lot like the Joker there.
Yeah, that one where they get stuck on the party bus.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The driver sounds exactly like
the Joker. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's a Halloween episode, too.
Yeah.
I really like their Halloween specials.
Oh, they're really good.
They're just telling spooky stories.
It's basically a Simpsons Halloween special.
Pretty much, without being as violent.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go ahead and take a break here and come back with a little bit of news?
Yeah, sure.
29 Brew Pub and To Die For Cupcakes is a supporter of local radio programs like Nerd Overload. 29 Brew Pub offers wood-fired pizzas and sandwiches, craft beers and local liquors, and To Die For's gourmet cupcakes. They also host a local bike night every Thursday. 29 Brew Pub and To Die For Cupcakes. 1692 Marion Mount Gilead Road, right in front of Office Depot, 740-751-4586, and also on Facebook.
Hey, we're back. That was Don't You Want Me by the Human League, which we picked because I found a YouTube video the other day that replaces all the lyrics with just working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You should look that up. And it somehow makes an already really catchy song even catchier.
Like the flu.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, let's get into a little bit of news here. And let's start with an easy one. We're all drinking Surge right now.
It's back from the grave.
Yeah, it had come back on Amazon exclusive there for a little while. What was it, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah, I bought a couple cases.
Probably
of
more
it
like a year ago.
Amazon.
Yeah, like a year
I guess,
ago.
Yeah, it was
I guess it was a year
because it was around Christmas when we.
Yeah, it was like a year ago.
Yeah, and it's weird. They decided out of the blue, hey, we're going to put it in a bunch of stores as a test market to see if it would sell. And
by a bunch of stores in Marion, that meant
the Valero,
Valero.
At the north end of town. And that's it. That's the only place. And we
have the,
last four cans in Marion County.
Until they restock.
Well, yeah. So, yes, cheers. Some
Surge cheers.
Surge cheers.
It probably didn't come up on the mic.
Probably not.
Clink, clink, clink.
There we go.
Clink, clink, clink. It's terrible because I've given up soda. But this is...
No, you had given up soda.
I had given up soda.
Surge and, is the exception.
Yes, yeah. Surge now all the time. I'm going to have an IV put in me.
There you go. But no, it's good. And you know what? Nostalgia is a funny thing. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I don't. Surge, I'm okay with. I'm okay with the return of Surge.
Oh, yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I wish they'd bring 50-50 back.
50-50?
What's that?
50-50 was the lemon lime soda I drank a lot when I was a kid.
Oh.
Ah, okay.
Really, really loved it.
That sounds like something from the 50s.
Yeah,
it probably was.
How old are you?
Yeah. You've been lying to us. But...
Well, I actually have to do a ritual every year on my birthday to appease the space baby gods to
there
keep my eternal youth. And I skip everywhere I go because of the girl that I used to love.
That is a reference to something. What is
this
it?
Regular show.
Okay,
it's Skip's backstory.
Yeah, they did an episode. That was
oh,
Skip's
you know what?
Backstory.
I do remember. I think I remember that one. Because he got really old there, like, temporarily
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
right?
It's because they interrupted the ritual. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But there's another episode where they go back in time and meet Wox, Skip's younger self.
Awesome. So, sir.
Yeah, that's enough regular show for this
Yeah,
episode.
No kidding. Yeah. What is this, Metal Gear? No. So, yeah, let's go ahead and move on to something else before the sugar of all this Surge, like, kicks in real hard, real bad.
Probably in about 20 minutes.
Probably. By the end of the show. There we go.
Yeah.
No, there's a little bit of news. There's a petition online, actually, that...
Imagine that, an online petition.
Yeah, who knew? In an interview
How
a while
original.
Back, Tommy Wiseau, the guy who directed and starred in The Room, like, you know...
The greatest film of all time.
Yes, the greatest film. And in the interview, he made an offhand comment that he would love to direct Fantastic Four 2. So... Yeah, there's a petition for him to direct the sequel to Fantastic Four. I'm for it.
Yeah, he couldn't do any worse.
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Fantastic Four or not. Just any big budget movie I want to see. I
oh,
want
yeah,
to know
give
what
that guy
do with
a, it. Yeah, give that guy a budget.
Yeah,
like,
give yeah.
A couple million. I want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Thing.
I did not clobber her. I did not.
Just like, think about it. What would he do?
Yeah, given unlimited resources that a lot of directors have to work with, what would this crazy man do?
Everything. Your heart's desire. Yeah.
I don't think he could ever make anything again, though, because he wouldn't earnestly be trying to make something good.
Oh, yeah. He would be trying to make something bad.
Yeah.
And, well, that's what happened to that short film, The House That Drips Blood on Alex.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
It wasn't, no. Although he is going to be in Samurai Cop 2.
Nice.
Yeah. He is the whole thing is set like in the far flung future where they've unthawed. Like the Samurai Cop has been in cryostasis and yeah.
So like the Demolition Man?
Kind of like the Demolition Man, but like really bad. So like
Wait,
the Demolition
Man's good?
Yeah, right. but no, Tommy Wiseau is a samurai warrior from the past. future. He has a metal mask. And actually, the teaser trailer for Samurai Cop 2 actually has him like delivering like the final like this big long speech or whatever with a sword above his head, and he flubs it halfway through the speech and just keeps going, and they kept it.
Oh my god!
It's gonna be great, but no, you know what? Give Wiseau a chance. Why not?
Give Wiseau a chance.
Yeah.
Hashtag 2015.
Oh man! Just think if he worked on Fantastic Four 2, he would be working with Stan Lee.
Did Stan Lee even make a cameo in
the
movie?
No, he didn't. One of the many problems with Fantastic Four.
Lack of Stan Lee.
Yep.
He probably doesn't even want to be part of it.
No.
But granted, I did read that Stan Lee hasn't seen the new one yet.
Yeah, he wasn't in it. Why does he need to see it?
He knows what happens.
Yeah.
I wrote it, 100 years ago.
Almost literally 100 years ago.
No, well.
It's been a long time.
At least 60.
I'm making a joke that Stan Lee is old, okay?
No.
How dare you?
Did you ever hear that theory, like, the fan theory of why Stan Lee is on all the movies? Is he secretly the Watcher?
Yeah, I read
that would make
somewhere.
Sense. I mean, I like it. Why not?
Yeah, I hope it pans out before, you know. He does.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. That's real sad stuff. This is not a sad time.
Stan Lee will live forever. Let's move on to the next news article.
Next news article. We'll stick with some Marvel stuff. There's a new comic in the same vein as the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl and, you know, some of the other stuff that's coming out. It's called
The Good Stuff.
The Good Stuff, yeah. The Good Section. Heretofore known as the good part of Marvel. It's called Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat. And the interesting thing is being written by Kate Leth, who is mostly an indie comics writer for the most part. An artist. She's a really talented artist.
She wrote, what, the new Fraggle Rock series?
Mm-hmm. Bravest Warriors.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, that's it. Let's see. She's writing it with art by Brittany Williams, and it has this really neat, like, animated kind of style
to
it.
Yeah, I love
that. It's really cool looking. And
it's very Archie-esque.
It is, and it actually makes sense because that is where the character kind of originated. Here's the thing with Patsy Walker. Before she was a superhero and Marvel Comics was like a big superhero thing, Marvel, or Timely, tried to rip off Archie. And Patsy Walker was their...
Not Betty Page.
Betty Lodge.
No,
Veronica Lodge.
Yeah, Veronica Lodge and Betty... Oh, my God. Betty White.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Betty White and Veronica Lodge. Well, she was like the Veronica to the... In the Archie ripoff book, basically. And the character was unused for years until she came back in as a side character in, like, a Beast from the X-Men solo series. And eventually got, like, cat-based superpowers and has been kind of a staple of the company ever since. And it's great that she's getting her own book. She's been a sidekick character to most recently She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of my favorite parts of the She-Hulk. Run.
Yeah, and they're actually introducing the character into the Jessica Jones Netflix series. So she is actually going to pop up, whether she's Hellcat or not, she's going to pop up in the Netflix.
She's
going to
be there.
Stuff. Yeah. She's going
to
be around.
It seems like this is kind of, but not really, a tie-in to AKA Jessica Jones.
Kinda. They're releasing the comic around the same time as Jessica Jones comes out on Netflix, but the series and the comic are not going to cross.
It's not a tie-in, but.
It gives people, like, maybe people who don't know, maybe a preview of what this character is about.
Yeah.
I mean, they put the AKA in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did do that. Well, it's like when they, they put a Howard the Duck comic a couple months out a couple months after
Guardians.
His cameo in Guardians.
Yeah.
So.
It's brand synergy is what it is.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is smart business.
Yes, yeah. But I'm excited for it. You know what? It has a very high potential of crossing over with Squirrel Girl because it looks like it's going to be that same kind of
goofiness,
goofy style.
And Kate Leth and Ryan North are buddies.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too.
I forgot Power Up. She does Power Up, which is her like original thing, and that's a really good comic. Mm-hmm. I read the first one; it's good.
Yeah,
you see that Misty Knight's going to be in Jessica Jones?
Yeah, with her robot arm and everything.
I know. I'm excited.
That's pretty awesome. Because she's actually a Iron Fist supporting character more than anything.
Yeah, but isn't she like, didn't she date Luke Cage or?
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist?
Iron Fist, yeah.
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. How many times can we say Iron Fist?
Iron Fist.
You know, Danny.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be nice. More characters for the Defenders.
Yeah. And you know what? If they're going to crank more and more characters into these, because, you know, look at Daredevil Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the Elektra, they have
Punisher.
They're going to be adding a bunch of other characters to it. So it's, you know, it's good stuff.
Marvel's really, like, really getting to these things.
Oh, sure. Because Daredevil did so well.
Oh,
Jessica
it's so good.
Jessica Jones is sounding real good.
Jessica Jones is looking
but
really
good. But also,
really
it has the potential of going into really dark places.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be rough. Well, they've said that, you know, if Daredevil is a crime drama, this is like a psychological thriller. So it's going to be a really weird tone.
Thanks for ruining David Tennant for me.
Apple had a thing, a press conference.
They did.
Today. They revealed a bunch of new stuff. Apparently, most of it's just crap.
Yeah, I mean,
to be blunt.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really do a whole lot. They announced the new 6S, right?
Yeah, which, what's the difference?
6S, 6S Plus, different color.
Yeah. Yeah. And they dropped the price on some of the phones, but you know what?
Most people who already have the phones have them.
Yeah, pretty much.
They added gaming and apps to the Apple TV, which initially sounds really awesome, but there's a 200 megabyte limit on any apps on it, which is inexcusably tiny for this day and age.
Yeah, and see, that's the biggest problem with that is the Apple TV doesn't, because I have an older Apple TV, and it doesn't support network storage. Like, you can't natively just plug in like a network to drive into it and make it work. You have to have a computer running with iTunes going to run it from like a storage drive to the thing. Yeah, that's why I have to have my computer on up here every time I want to try to watch something downstairs.
That's dumb.
It's really weird. And the Apple TVs themselves have no internal storage. Like hardly any. Like enough to run an app, and that is it. And if Apple really wants to break into the gaming market, because you know that's what, you know, they're really trying to do that.
They're not doing a very good job of trying.
Yeah, it's not great.
The big thing they showed was Crossy Road, which, don't get me wrong, Crossy Road's a great game, but it's not something you're going to impress people with your...
I mean, this is worse than the Ouya.
Yeah.
And nobody liked the Ouya. Except, you know, it's fun to say. Ouya.
Ouya.
Yeah, like,
say it like
seriously, nothing.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. Ouya.
Ouya.
Nothing came out for that. It was like the N-Gage all over again.
Yeah, right. But and the weirdest thing is this: the gaming on the new Apple TV, it doesn't support iPhone like tethering,
which is dumb.
So you would have an instant controller with your phone, which would be brilliant. But no.
Yeah, I mean the closest thing you can get is the AirPlay. Like you can actually AirPlay. At least with the older one, you can AirPlay stuff from your phone screen to the TV. But that's not the same.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird.
It's like they really half-heartedly did it. Like, and like their games that they showed for it were more like pleasant diversions than actual gaming experiences.
Yeah. It's like, well, I guess we can do games.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to want to play a game that's under 200 megabytes and basically something on your phone in front of your TV. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to play Candy Crush on your TV?
No, I don't want to play it on my phone, but that, but like, there's no reason for the average person to play Candy Crush on their TV.
It makes me wonder if this Apple TV is like the halfway point between this and the next like
big Apple product.
Yeah. Like they're testing the waters to see if people will play games, even if they're not great games. To see if there's enough interest to build like a dedicated gaming console.
If they made
console.
Like an all-in-one media machine, like what the Xbox One wanted to be before they messed everything up.
Yeah,
like if Apple made something like that, that would probably work.
Yeah, like if they took something a little bit bigger, like they took the internal guts of like a Mac, like a what were they called? They were like candy colored, and they had the screen.
iMac.
If they had iMac. Like the guts from an iMac without a screen, and the operating system from the Apple TV, you do something like that, and you'll have something that could rival You know,
though I'm sure that an iPad, a newer iPad, is more powerful than an iMac nowadays.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Kind of a similar thing.
Like a MacBook, like a low-end MacBook
with no screen that you just, you know, just has that HDMI plug that you just plug in. But it's puzzling. Why would they?
And if they leaned hard on streaming games, mm-hmm, like
that too,
like PlayStation Now, that would might work for them.
Yeah,
but it's like they don't want to commit to it.
Like I said, I think they're trying to test the waters.
Yeah, I think it's more of a they're unsure, so they're trying to not dump too much money into it.
There was so many rumors flying around about how it was going to support PlayStation Now.
Oh God!
Or that Reggie was going to show up and they were going to have one of their mobile games.
Oh jeez!
And none of that happened. It was a big disappointment for everyone.
Yeah, well, they're saying the NX is going to be at least partially mobile, so which I don't know if I want. You know?
Yeah, it's too early to tell.
Yeah. But no, actually, speaking of Apple stuff and Nintendo, the first iPhone Nintendo game came out.
From the Pokemon Company.
Yeah. It's Pokemon Shuffle, the thing that you could get on your Game Boy for free for, like, forever.
It works so much better on the phone, though.
Really?
I actually want to play it on my phone, whereas if I'm playing my DS, my 3DS... anything is better.
Yeah.
But when you're on your phone, you just want to play something stupid to kill time, it's perfect.
See, and that's cool. I mean, it has those in-app purchases, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it's basically energy, to keep playing. You get a good 15, 20 minutes out of it before you'd have to pay every time, which is about all you could stand to play it before you get bored.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's very much like a Puzzle Quest, Candy Crush, kind of, with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, do you think this? I mean, you said you liked it. Is this a good first outing for like their Nintendo's shift towards mobile?
I think it's more the Pokemon companies doing.
That's true. Yeah, I guess it is true.
But
yeah.
You know, if they have more stuff like that, that's cool. I mean, it limits the amount of you can spend too.
Really?
Yeah,
well, that's good.
You can
at
only
least.
Spend so much a month. So.
Oh, that's that's so the kids who accidentally get into their parents' phones and. You know, they don't charge like thousands of dollars in Pokemon Shuffle monies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a solid puzzle game. It reminds me a little bit of the Puzzle and Dragons.
Okay. Do you think they're going to bring that to phones at some point?
Even if it's the Mario.
I
think they said they weren't going to do any ports.
Oh, that's
but
good.
But then again, this is a port, so yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But again, that's Pokemon Company. And
yeah, which are a little bit outside of Nintendo. It's weird how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're separate, but they're not.
They're separate, but exclusive.
Yeah.
No, they're actually not because of Tenbo the elephant, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's Game Freak, which is the Pokemon company, essentially, right?
Yeah, and then Sega published that.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, not the first time Sega's published a Game Freak game either.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Game Freak's more like a second-party developer than they are. First party.
Yeah, it's just they've been working exclusively on Pokemon for so long, it's kind of hard to distinguish between, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nintendo probably owns some part of Pokemon, I don't know.
More than likely, yeah, I would assume.
They probably own the rights to the Pokemon characters.
I don't know.
Or at least partial distribution, maybe?
Because
they're tied in with the cartoon as well, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? It's all
it's a business.
Big,
business.
Legal.
Yeah, so what do you suppose the next step's going to be?
I don't know. I hope something Mario related. I want a they Mario
would,
time waster.
They would almost have to, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet they come out of the gate with Mario will be their first thing. Some kind of Mario.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even if it would be cool is some tie-in with Mario Maker.
I was just thinking the same thing. I don't know how they would be able to... Tie it in.
Like,
but...
maybe you can't play the levels, but you can make them.
Yeah, true. That would be...
Because Mario with touch controls would be a nightmare. It would be disgusting.
That would be pretty rough.
I would throw up while playing it.
Although, if they like, downsize the screen and put the touch controls on the sides, like it's a pseudo-controller?
No.
No? Still no?
God, no.
Okay.
I can barely play Mario on a keyboard if it's emulated.
Oh, yeah. Well, true.
It, you have to have a controller. That's the other reason why I don't think they'll do any ports of games, because a lot of Nintendo's games need buttons just to feel right.
True. I mean, I could see a Luigi's Mansion-style thing where you have to tap on the ghosts.
Yeah.
Something simple.
Yeah, Nintendo's smart enough to actually utilize the touchscreen instead of trying.
They've been
work
working on it long enough.
Yeah.
You know, with the 3DS and the
Wii U
and stuff.
They kind of invented playing games with a touchscreen.
They kind of did, yeah.
Do you want to move on to Force Friday?
But yeah, let's do it.
Last week was Force Friday, the big marketing brouhaha for the new Star Wars movie that doesn't come out for 3 months.
New toys.
This is only 3 months away, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, it's crazy. 99 days till Force Awakens.
But it's weird that they release all the merch, well, not all the merchandise, but so much of the merchandise before the movie's even out.
Well, they got to get ahead of the game. I mean, people are going to be wanting this stuff.
Yeah.
I guess. Like, seriously, I went to just about every place you can go for Force Friday stuff here in town, and almost every area is picked clean. But it's ridiculous.
I don't want to be like, Star Wars is so commercial now, because that's stupid.
Plus, it has always been.
It always has been commercial, yeah.
They sold kids an empty box.
Yeah, with the promise of future toys in the original series.
Yeah, true.
like it's dumb to complain about it being commercial, but it's so weird. And, like, the thing that gets me the most is, like, they have... There's, like, these articles on blogs that are like, hear Kylo Ren's voice for the first time coming out of a 4-inch plastic toy. I'm like, no! I don't want the voices of characters revealed to me from ancillary merchandise. Yeah. Like, it's so stupid.
People trying to, like, guess the plot from the dialogue
and
the toys.
Yeah, on the back of the boxes and stuff.
Well, yeah, I think it was a Kotaku article, or maybe it was Nerdist, I don't know, extrapolating the plot based on a Lego commercial where BB-8 is running away from a TIE fighter. It's like, is this part of the movie? Is the movie going to be about the Empire trying to get this droid? It's like, I don't know.
They've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This isn't just Star Wars, though. They did the same thing with Avengers Age of Ultron.
Did they? I wasn't paying attention.
Not as much.
They didn't have like a full day devoted to it, although... I guess Free Comic Book Day has kind of become like the closest thing
because Avengers party,
because that's when they release the movies that weekend usually.
Yep.
But this is nothing new. It's just that this is like the first time they had like a full blown like this is Star Wars like Day.
Yeah, an event. Yeah.
And why isn't it May 4th?
It's not close enough to the movie.
You would think Force Friday would be May the 4th be with you.
Nope, September 4th. Mm.
It makes the trailer now look like a 30-second toy commercial.
Yeah.
It makes me worry how much of the movie is going to be a 2-hour toy commercial.
But then again, I mean, Star Wars has always been toyetic.
Yeah.
It always has been.
With all the vehicles and all that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, and we haven't even seen all the merchandise that's out there. Like, I've seen pictures and stuff of things that we haven't gotten yet.
Yeah, they've done a good job of keeping it to stuff that's only in the trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. Like, they have shown other things that we haven't seen necessarily in the trailer yet, like the flame troopers and things like that, mm-hmm. which look a lot like the snow troopers. They got very similar helmets.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I love Star Wars, so I guess I don't work in retail anymore, so I can understand your gripes of beginning to really despise it.
Oh, yeah, I have to hear the Star Wars theme just on a constant loop from there's a Disney Infinity display. It just plays constantly.
I could see how that would get old super quick.
You know, on the overhead, they'll play the Star Wars theme too. So, you know, double time Star Wars. And like, I love Star Wars and I don't want to feel burnt out on it, but it's starting to make me feel burnt out on Star Wars.
Well, then again, like I said, you're right there in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little bit.
It's all about experiences. And, you know, I work in a dryer plant, so I'm like, I get tired of looking at white appliances. I don't know.
Pretend they're stormtroopers.
These are not the washers you're looking for.
But no, I don't know. I'm kind of excited. You know, I like a lot of the toys are really, really neat.
That BB-8 is awesome.
Oh,
that $150 one that you control with your phone.
Close to buying it.
Really?
I saw where somebody disassembled the sphere to see how it worked.
Yeah, that's crazy how that little the thing stays on top for the most part. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's a magnet. It's a magnet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, basically, they took the original concept for R2-D2 from back in the 70s and made it real because now the technology is there. And
that's
I love it.
That's great.
I freaking love it. I think BB-8 is easily, quickly becoming my new favorite droid.
Mm-hmm. He's so cute.
He's cute, and it's. I love the fact that he's a real thing. He's not CG.
Yeah, he has a practical effect.
A practical effect, and I love it.
I feel sorry for that midget inside the ball, though.
Oh, like a little hamster ball.
Just running constantly.
Nice. For those of you who don't know, back in the day, R2-D2 had a dwarf actor inside R2-D2.
God, what was his name?
I don't know, but I guess he was at the script readings and stuff,
God,
for the new one.
I should know his name because my folks saw him at a Disney World thing, and he was practically passed out, sprawled out because he was inside a thing. Kenny
Loggins.
Stop.
Is it Kenny Davis? No. Yes. No. No, because that's Warwick Davis. Kenny Baker.
Do we have Kenny Baker? Is it Kenny Baker?
Kenneth Baker.
Kenneth Baker, yes. Yeah.
They, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, they saw him, doing autographs and stuff, and later on they saw him, and he was just,
heat exhaustion.
Just laying out, and my dad goes, my God, they've killed Kenny Baker.
Just you totally bastard.
Perfect.
I'm going to get edited again.
It's cool. I mean, the commercialization of it is kind of terrible, but you can't really get mad because
that's the way it's always been.
There's always a new line of Star Wars product,
and it would be foolish for Disney and Lucasfilm, or what's left of them, to not monetize on it.
I know.
It would be. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Every movie that comes out, there is a huge surge of new toys.
Yeah, surge.
Yes. But I mean, come on. I still have toys from episode 3 that are still in their packages at home.
I have some somewhere, I think.
I mean, yeah, I was getting a little sad because there for a while, there was barely any new Star Wars stuff on shelves. Mm-hmm. I would go to Walmart all the time and they had maybe 5 things, and it's been the same 5 things for the past 4 months.
Those Black Series are pretty awesome.
I do love the Black Series figures. And they are really pushing the crap out of the Black Series everything. You have the Black Series 3.75-inch figures, which apparently are now going to be a Walmart exclusive. Mm-hmm. You have the Black Series 6-inches, which are the really cool ones.
The 6-inch ones, yeah, I like those a lot.
Oh, I know. I just hate the fact that they're Marvel Marvel Legends $20 a pop.
Well, yeah.
And some of the quality is not that great on some of them.
I really want that Marvel Legends Captain Marvel one they have.
I know, with the interchangeable heads.
Yeah.
With the Mohawk. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that, that's the one, that's the, like a series 2 ago. With the Odin figure?
Yeah.
You should start seeing those go down in price a little bit.
I hope so. I hope.
Yeah.
But let's see here. They brought back the titanium ship toys.
Yeah, I saw those the other day. Those were cool.
I have a bunch of the old ones. Mm-hmm. The bases aren't as nice as my old ones. They're just basically plastic. Mm-hmm. But those are titanium Black Series. They have new Force FX lightsabers. Black Series.
Including the Kylo Ren
Which is $200.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it online. It is $200.
I'm very disappointed that the Poe Dameron X-Wing Lego is $80.
Yeah.
I know, right?
The Rey's speeder one, I think I'm going to buy that one.
Yeah, the giant ice cream popsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like it. I think it's cool.
Mm. It has that rough, used future look that Star Wars stuff should have.
Yeah, especially on being a scrap kind of dealer that she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I saw in some of the concept art, she lives in an old, crashed out AT-AT walker.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
And I love her goggles are the eye plates from an old Stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah, that is cool.
Also, it's cool that so much of the merchandise has a person of color. And a woman.
Yeah, yeah. I know, right? I'm excited for what's his name? Finn?
Finn. Although there are hints that his name might not actually be Finn, because his Stormtrooper designation was FN-something-something-something. So Finn could be a code name for something else. My guess is it's Calrissian.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I'm calling it now.
You've been right in the past.
I've been right in the past. I think because they're trying so hard to tie everything together to like the old generation and the new generation. I think if not, if he's not a son or grandson, he has some sort of relation to Lando Calrissian.
That'd be cool. But we do know from the new poster, which I love the fact that they keep bringing back the artist who painted all the other ones.
The Drew Struzan, I think his name is.
Yeah. He is the Jedi character.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome.
That's pretty
Though great. I thought it was going to be Rey, but I'm okay with Rey not being the Jedi.
She's going to be the Lady Han Solo of this movie, probably. Which is awesome.
Oh yeah.
I'm into that.
Captain Phasma.
Cool.
I'm into, yeah.
And great. I haven't heard her voice yet, and I haven't seen her face, and I'm fine with it.
That's fine, yeah.
I think my favorite thing so far was some dude on Star Wars' official Facebook page talking about, it's like, I'm not trying to sound sexist or anything. Red flag right there.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to tell there's a woman in that armor.
Well, that's the point.
And Star Wars replied to him saying, it's a woman, period, in armor, period. It doesn't have to look feminine. And I freaking love it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I mean, she is quickly becoming my Boba Fett. I've barely seen her do anything, and I don't care because she just looks so freaking cool.
She looks
cool.
Cool cape.
Mm-hmm. Got the cape, got the silver armor. I had to school some guy because I was talking to him, and he's like, that's like Boba Fett's like son or something. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a woman, and she's the captain of the Stormtrooper Corps.
That's awesome. Listen, we could keep going forever, but we got to wrap up, unfortunately. You've been listening to Nerd Overload.
To the Star Wars show.
Yeah, pretty much. Check us out each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadwebsite.
You can tweet at us on the Twitters at @nerd_overload.
Or you can email any questions or comments or song requests.
Yeah.
At staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yep, we would love to hear from you.
You know what? I'm going to put this question out there.
Sure.
Audience, email us and tell us either who's your favorite Star Wars character or maybe what you would like to see in the new movie.
Either one, yep.
If you send us an audio file, we can play it during the show.
Even better, that's right.
But you don't have to do that. You can
write it, yeah, if you're feeling shy. That's fine. anyway, yeah, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week.
May the Force be with you.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by 29 Brew Pub and Wood Fired Pizza and To Die For Cupcakes.